Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
You're listening to Rabot & Co. here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Louis Rabot.
Hi, yes, welcome back in, kids. 11 o'clock hour here on a Thursday edition of Rabot & Co. Alongside Zach Cantrell, my name's Louis Rabot, at Radio Louis. On Twitter, you can find the station at ESPN 680. If you ever miss part of our show, head back to that podcast center, ESPNLouisville.com, or on the app. Completely free. Check it out on your phone. All of our programming, both local, any of the additional programming we do around here, you can catch that as well. Speaking of programming, make sure you are tuned in tonight starting at 7. We got the Sweet 16 for you. Tons of great games. We'll get into all of that with Jay Davis here in a second. But tonight and tomorrow at 7 o'clock, we'll start our coverage of the Sweet 16 game. So if you have to work, you're traveling around, whatever that might be, we've got you covered. Hey, if there's play-by-play happening, you know what's happening at ESPN Louisville. Of course, I'll have the Kentucky Racing Spotlight tomorrow at, on Friday. Yeah, it is tomorrow. Good God, it's already Thursday. What the hell's going on this week, Zach? Tons of great text, by the way, about lunch buffets. We bring in Jay Davis to the lunch buffet conversation. And something has happened, Jay, on this show that I really enjoy, which is Thursday show, I get to do my open. I get 15, 20 minutes to talk about, you know, the thing going on in sports. And, of course, that here is Pat Kelsey. Then Ben Roberts comes on. We talk UK. We talk about, you know, the Cal thing with Mitch Barnhart. And then we always end up with like a 5-6-7 minute segment at the end of the hour. And it never is about sports. And then I get to bring you in. What is the best lunch buffet style of food?
For lunch?
Because so far, what we've been talking about is how every town, and Detroit is certainly no different, has a pizza buffet that's a local pizza chain buffet, right? And so here it's a place called Mr. Gaddy's. It's kind of like a pizza buffet version of Chuck E. Cheese.
I haven't had Chuck E. Cheese pizza in forever. I guess they have beer there now. But, yeah, I was going to say for lunch, it's probably pizza. I'm big on the Chinese buffets.
Yeah,
I love it. I love it, especially on the weekends because they usually have all you can eat crab legs. we used to have nothing strange to you guys down there, but at one point, this is probably like 20 years ago, we had a KFC buffet.
KFC buffet. It's fantastic.
And it was like 10 or 15 minutes from where I live, and that was like the best thing ever. So, I mean, you can't really go wrong with any kind of buffet, but I mean, lunch, you got to go back to work. You got to work a few hours. You might get that itis where you're tired for the last half of the day. So, you know, maybe the pizza buffet, because they usually have a little side salad area, you know, where you can get some more roughage in your body, and, you know, maybe you're not lagging the rest of the day.
I think the Asian thing, the soups and the apps, you know, that, like, is my go-to for sure. But, there was a place here called Shoney's. Someone texted in. Where is it? There it is. I missed the old Shoney's breakfast buffet, breakfast bar buffet. And the eggs always sucked, of course, right? Because you can't just leave eggs in a warmer, right?
Yeah.
But damn it, you could have a biscuit with gravy. You could have whatever 30 kinds of potatoes they had. You could have, man, I want one pancake. You know, that kind of stuff. Breakfast buffet is kind of undefeated, man. Ugh, man. I lose weight. Ugh, stupid conversation. Jay Davis with us at JDavis_1981 on Twitter. You are outside of this market. You are outside of our bubble. How good is the Pat Kelsey hire in Jay Davis's mind?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, just from talking with you guys a couple times a week for the last couple of years now, it's obviously that he wasn't the name at the top of the list, but in reading a little bit about him over the last couple of days, you know, it feels like this is going to work out. You know, I'm not sure if it's going to be year one. I feel like by year two, they'll be ready to get back to the tournament and probably contend for the ACC title. You know, I read a little bit of a story earlier today about one of his guys. I think he was a lead scorer at Charleston. He said, by the end of the first year, you know, there'll be some excitement there, because I guess the thing that Pat Kelsey's been really good at, you know, Winthrop and College of Charleston, is getting people to buy into what he's doing, and that's important. You know, even more so now with the portal and NIL, you know, if you can get guys to buy into what you're doing, you know, and building up a program, getting Louisville back to where, you know, people expect it to be, you know, you're gonna get good players, and you're gonna be able to keep those good players. So, I mean, I think next year they'll be a lot more competitive than they have been last couple of years. You know, they might start some teams in the ACC tournament. You know, might give themselves, you know, a chance to maybe, you know, be a low seed in the tournament. And, you know, in a couple of years, I think they'll be, you know, looking at, all right, you know, let's contend for a conference title and, you know, top 4 or 5 seed in the tournament.
Jay Davis with us. It's interesting you talk about it in that way, because with him building excitement and doing different things, one of the things I closed the first segment with was something that I think you and I, as alums of Michigan State, take for granted, is that the locker room is open with Tom Izzo. And so we get to know the guys throughout the year, little clips on social media, little clips on nightly news, that kind of stuff. The locker room was open here until 2019, I want to say, with Louisville basketball. If text or 437-9680, if I'm wrong about the timeline there, go ahead. But it is within the last 5-6 years that the locker room was still open here. Obviously it was under Pitino, and then Chris Mack was the one who decided to close the locker room. Do you think a guy like Pat Kelsey could benefit from an open locker room, kind of a transparent approach? If what you're saying is right, that he's great at the old school, get the fans excited, get them to buy in based on, you know, obviously results are going to be number one, but if there's anything else, it's going to be personality. It's getting to know, you know, not just the coach, but the guys on the team. Am I being a media dude to want that, or could fans want that for their team and it be a realistic expectation too?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, you know, you go on, like, I think this is more prevalent now in the women's game, where you have the you know, verified accounts for each team, where they're at practice just, you know, kind of having fun after practice, and you're getting to know their personalities and stuff like that. You know, absolutely, you know, he could benefit from that, the players, the program. You know, the school, frankly, you know, because the one thing that we both know is that, you know, when a school is good at athletics, that drives up, you know, admissions, and, you know, people have a, you know, kids have an interest in going there. I don't think that's ever been a problem, but you get what I'm saying. So, yeah, you know, opening up the locker room, you know, just showing a little bit. I mean, I don't watch College of Charleston a lot, but, you know, it's been a season, you're looking at, you know, who's going to win a regular season title, you know, win a conference tournament. I probably watched College of Charleston 3 or 4 times this year, and he's very, very, I don't want to call him boisterous, on the sidelines, he's enthusiastic, you know, demonstrative. So, you know, I think people like that. You know, I think that, especially after the last couple of years, you know, somebody with some passion is gonna make a difference. You know, it's kind of a 180 from what they had with Coach Payne. So, you know, I think, you know, like I said, you know, it's not the name that everybody wanted, but and I think this is gonna work out.
What does work out mean to Jay Davis? Because there are lots of levels of working out. The standard previously at the University of Louisville was, you know, making the tournament 3 out of 4 years, 4 out of 5 years, whatever you want to say. Second weekend multiple times in that span. You know, Final Fours, national titles are the norm around here. Multiple coaches have done it, right? And I think that's the mark of a great program, is when it wasn't just one person, it was multiple people that won a title. Do you see this as a guy who, and look, I know it's impossible for us to know today, but is capable of a Final Four run? Is that Jay Davis's opinion?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the support he's going to have there, the backing he's going to have there, you know, we talked before, Louisville, you know, is a top 7-8 job in the country. This is a program that, you know, he should be able to be big at. And, you know, I'm not totally comparing him to Bill Self. We talked about Self before, you know, he had a couple jobs before he got to Illinois. And when he left Illinois, you know, got to the national title game next year. I'm not saying, Pat Kelsey be here 3 or 4 years and, go to North Carolina or something like that. But, just the success that he had at Winthrop back college in Charleston, he pretty much, would have had gone to the tournament, 4 out of the last 5 years, in the last 2 years at Winthrop and the last 2 years at college in Charleston, if everything didn't go to hell in 2020. But that for that COVID year at Winthrop, they only lost 2 games. And his last 2 years of college at Charleston, he's like 58-12. And I don't care, I know, Charleston's, CAA is a low, I won't even call it a mid.
It's low major. That's okay. It's low major. Yeah.
58-12 in 2 years, winning, double dip and winning the regular season and the conference tournament. That's really, really good. So, obviously, he's an X's and O's guy. From reading a little bit about what some of his former players have had to say about him, they love him. I think the one anecdote and one story I read was that Kelsey would babysit his former players' kids, if you ask him. So, I think this is gonna, it's too tough to say. Yeah, he's gonna win a national title, but I think probably in the next couple of years they're gonna be back in the mix for. Like I said, high season, the tournament, conference titles, whatever in the ACC. So I, just the little bit that I've seen of him and read about him, I think this is going to work out.
I've just been told that one of the breakfast buffets is still open in town. So if you come on this show, Jay, at any point, and I'm just eating the whole time, that's what happened.
They don't let you take that stuff out of the restaurant. We know that from the Simpsons.
Oh no! I have remote equipment. I'll just I will just sit at the buffet and talk to you about basketball. That's what'll happen here. Jay All Davis right. with us.
Yeah,
Cranes Detroit FirstGenSports.com. You can find him at JDavis_1981 on Twitter. And one of the things I talked about to open the show, Jay, is the thing that stands out about Pat Kelsey versus guys at other jobs of this level. And I want to be really clear. I'm going to mention a school that I don't consider to be on the level of a Louisville job. That's Kansas State. Jerome Tang sits on the Baylor bench for a couple of decades. Tommy Lloyd sits on the Gonzaga bench for a couple of decades. It takes the Arizona job. You and I have interviewed Kamani Young from up at UConn on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of those guys that I think is someone's going to hire him and he's going to be great. I think he's legitimately at the right place going to be great. I think it's a positive in my mind that Kelsey was like, you know what, bleep it. I don't want to sit on the bench. I'll go coach Winthrop. And then he does a great job. And then his chance to move up in the world is to College of Charleston. And he does it. Do you like that he's been a head coach for this long? He's coached 383 college games. Or am I making too much of that compared to someone like, let's say, a Tommy Lloyd?
No, I mean, we're hiring a guy because being an assistant, Tang and Tommy Lloyd, Tommy Lloyd's obviously done really well in just, 3 years at Arizona. Jerome Tang had to, in the 2023 tournament, Kansas State obviously didn't play as well this year, but there's so much more that goes along with being a head coach, than it is. And I'm being Captain Obvious, but there's so much more that comes with being a head coach than, being an assistant. And haven't done that, Kelsey's been coaching like 12 years now, and just knowing everything that comes with that, how to deal with fans and boosters and especially recruitment and things like that, being at the forefront of all of that, I think that can be different.
Well, there you go. We'll get into Cal in the next segment and his return to UK as well, because you've been sort of inundated with hanging out with me, so we'll definitely get into that. You just said that you expect Kelsey to make the tournament his second season. Percent chance that he makes it his first season in your mind?
I'd give him a 50-50 shot. We don't know what Louisville's schedule is going to be. I'm not saying they should do a Big 12 style non-conference schedule and just load up, but it's Louisville. They're going to play some tough non-conference games. Obviously, the ACC is tough, but it's not as tough as it was in the past. So, I expect them to make the tournament in the second year. I'm not saying it's not out of the question that they could do it in year one.
Draymond Green, the Rockets winning 10 straight, a Porter removing himself from basketball games. We'll get into all of it with Jay coming up here. But I wanted to remind you that he is presented by our friends at Lana Sports, LANA Sports.com. If you remember the ABA, the Colonels, the Pacers, Issel, Dr. J, all the great players that ran through there, maybe that red, white, and blue basketball, great news for you. LANA Sports.com. Use Jay's code ABA20. You get 20% off any purchase. Composite leather, beautiful basketball. Great for your man cave, your office, or heck, just for your driveway. Check them out. Lana Sports, LANA Sports. Family business in Indianapolis. Great people. LANA Sports.com. Reminder today, Louisville baseball is playing Thursday, Friday, Saturday because of Easter. They will be on 93.9 tonight in Tallahassee. So Louisville baseball at Florida State. 5:50 pregame, 6 o'clock first pitch, right after our guy Mark Ennis over on the drive on 93.9 The Ville. More with Jay Davis. We do it next here, ESPN 680, 105.7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You are listening to Rabeau and Co. here on ESPN 680-1057. Now, here's Louis Rabeau.
Texter asking, is Tim Sullivan going to ask an awkward question today? That is repetitive, ma'am or sir. Tim Sullivan asking a question is always awkward. I'm Louis Rabeau, hanging out with Zach Cantrell here on Rabeau & Co., ESPN 680-1057. You can find me on Twitter at Radio Louis. Easy for me to say. And you can, of course, find the station at ESPN 680. He's at JDavis_1981. Jay Davis joining us. Usual spot. From Detroit, Lana Sports, LANA Sports.com, presenting Jay every week here on the show. Talked Pat Kelsey. Got to go down the road and talk John Calipari. And you and I are living through this in the Michigan State version, which is with what Tom Izzo's teams have looked like the last couple of years. Very public show of support down here from Mitch Barnhart, who is the athletic director at the University of Kentucky. Are you surprised that Cal is back, or was that $30+ million number just too big?
Well, the buyout's big, and you know who else are they going to hire to take that job? You know, we've seen people say that. I think who was it? Was it Jay Bills? We talked about it Tuesday. Say that you know the only people made for that job are Cal and Rick Pitino. Yeah. So you know if they let him go, who are they? You know who are they going to bring in? That's the that's the question. So you know, having a plan in place for a new hire and a buyout, you know, those two factors, you know, play a huge role in, you know, why he's coming back, I think.
Do you think an old dog can learn new tricks? Can you think of an example in coaching where someone really changed who they were when they were older?
I mean, Coach K did it. You know, he was winning titles, you know, with, I guess, older teams, you know, the first two, they were juniors and seniors.
It's the best example, right?
You know, 2001, you know, they went with juniors and seniors, you know, and then that his last title, 2015, was predominantly freshmen, you know. I mean, the one-and-done thing hasn't worked out that great. You know, there's really three examples, Syracuse in 03, Kentucky in 2012, and Duke in 2015, where, you know, that actually worked. But, you know, Coach K, you know, he was able to do that, you know, he coached, what, 6-7 years after that. But, you know, that's the best example I can think of right off the top of my head. Even, you know, we talked about it.
Yeah, Saban was different, too, at the end of his career, too, right? Like, he adapted new offensive tactics and, you know, really, you know, when you started to see him, you know, the same thing's happening here. People are trying to find out about this Pat Kelsey guy because he's been coaching at the College of Charleston. And, so they go to YouTube and they try to see, you know, clips of him. And there's a very famous one after Sandy Hook when he's at Ohio State and this kind of stuff. But with Saban, we started to see that he was making locker room type jokes, right? And we were like, Saban's making locker room type jokes? And so, you wonder if these guys do adapt over time and if they can. And I think Coach K and Saban are probably the best examples. And if you're a UK fan, man, you got to hope that the guy who's already in the freaking Hall of Fame is also going to be able to make that choice too.
Yeah. When we talk about adapting, you know, there's a lot that comes with that now, you know, with college sports, with the portal and, you know, kids want to know how much money they can get. And, you know, the thing about it is, you know, when people talk about it, they say, you know, with Calipari that he can't win with these kids anymore, you know, because he's doing it. He's not really doing the portal, just like Izzo. You know, Antonio Reeves is a senior, but, you know, most of the guys on that roster are still, you know, freshmen, you know, maybe a sophomore here and there. But, you know, the thing about it is, and we talked about this on Tuesday night too, 2 years ago, you know, when they lost to St. Peter's in the first round, that was an older team with, you know, Ashishiboy as player of the year. So, you know, he has done it a couple of different ways, and, you know, the results just haven't been there. You know, there's this inflection point, you know, in his time in Kentucky. You know, it was that 15 Final Four. I'm not sure exactly what happened. You know, he's still been able to recruit at an elite level, but, you know, he just hasn't, you know, won. You know, he hasn't, they haven't won the SEC the regular season since that COVID year. And, you know, they had three straight, what was it, 15, 16, 17, and they've only won the SEC regular season title one time. And, you know, that's they haven't won the conference tournament since, what, 2018. So, you know, I don't know what it is, but there's something that's been there the last, you know, almost decade now that, you know, they haven't won at the level that they did when they first got there.
Jay Davis with us, usual spot on Thursdays. He's presented by Lana Sports, LANASports.com. Find Jay on Twitter at JDavis_1981. Someone was asking who can they find in the portal for U of L this coming season. A lot of guys. There are actually a ton of really, really good players in the portal already. Raynaud out at Stanford is in the portal. He's a 7-foot guy. He's a Frenchman. He can hit from three. But Omoruyi from God, I can never say his name. But the center from Rutgers is a really, really fantastic player. And Stojakovic's kid, man. Pedro Stojakovic's kid is leaving Stanford as well. And that's the kind of guy that I think could also be a real push. Plus, did you watch Furman much this year? JP Pegues is there. Yeah, JP Pegues was their little point guard. I think he's the kind of guy. Oh, who was the point guard at Kansas State last year? Why am I forgetting that name?
Marcus Noel.
Noel. Thank you. That's right. Yeah, Marquise Noel. And he reminds me a bit of him, has that same kind of energy. I don't think he's a New York City guy, but he has that same kind of energy. So someone was asking, I think there are a ton of guys in the portal that U of L can immediately have a way better season next year.
Yeah, you know, just, you know, depends. Like Tucker DeVries from Drake's available.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Dad took a new job. You mentioned Omoruyi. Michi Johnson from South Carolina, I don't understand why he transferred. He led him in scoring, and, you know, he decided to leave. I mean, I know this will be his, third school. But, yeah, there's, you know, some of these transfers are interesting, you know, like the Michi Johnson one. But there's a lot of them, you know. I mean, Doug McDaniel had his issues last year, but that's a guy, you know, from Michigan who could score. You know, he was like 16 and 5 assists last year. So there's, you know, it just depends on, you know, what Pat Kelsey is going to be looking for, you know, in player. You know, is he going to want to, you know, say, you know what, I'm going to do this with the 17, 18-year-olds and try to build something that way? Or is he going to, you know, say, you know what, I want to do this right away and, you know, maybe try to get Scott Clark to come back to school and, you know, look at some other guys in the portal? So it all just depends on, you know, how he wants to, you know, do, how he wants to set up, you know, his tenure there.
Should fans think anything if he brings a couple guys from College of Charleston, or is that just the way of the world now?
That's just, you know, that's the way of the world, you know. Okay. Like with the Dust, I'm sure you probably talked about this earlier this week. The three best players on Florida Atlantic all have eligibility left, and I fully expect at least, you know, two of them to follow Dusty May to Michigan. I think Elijah Martin was already on Instagram, you know, excuse me, a couple of days ago. You know, there's this picture of Coach May and his family in Ann Arbor, and, you know, Elijah Martin reposted it. You know, I think he tagged the University of Michigan or something like that. So, yeah, you know, if, you know, I think with the way things go now, you might, and they might not even start or even be heavy rotational guys. I think you want to just have, you know, some guys in place that know your system, you know, that kind of know your personality, you know, to help guide, you know, the new players in the program along, to just, you know, kind of get them, you know, just get them used to how the new coach is.
Jessica Mendoza is doing her A-list for opening days in sports. And she has the Olympics at number one. That's fine. Major League Baseball, number two. That's fine. College football, number three. That's fine. The NFL opener, that's fine. She has the National Women's Soccer League at number five. Serious question, Day. Do you think she can name over half the teams of the NWSL?
Well, she might be able to. You know, that's the ESPN property, and that's a personal list. That's her list. So
I'm hating on the list, Jay. I'm hating.
the older I get, the less I find myself, you know, talking bad about other people's personal opinions.
There you
go. Maybe she's not a big March Madness person, or you know,
right?
First
day of the tournament's better than this.
She mentioned college football. You know, but that's just what Jessica likes.
I think I'm disappointed only because I think she's really good at baseball commentating. I think she's really
good. She's great.
Yeah, I think she's really
good. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she's really good. DeVries just announced that he's going to follow his dad. Which makes total sense, of course.
Yeah.
Texter, he's going to try to bring, he's got to bring a player or two with him to have players familiar with the program. That actually goes back to something that Ben Roberts talked about in the 10 o'clock hour is you can't just bring back veterans, Jay. You have to have a couple of guys who know the in and out, the day in, day out sort of operations of how you want to run a basketball program. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, with him making this is a big jump. You know, going from college to Charleston to Louisville is a big jump. So I think for him, it'll help him, you know, if he maybe brings an assistant or two. And I think their leading scorer last year has some, you know, eligibility left. So, you know, just bring a couple of guys, you know, I think that'll just help the transition.
Well, there you go. Text her, hey, does she at least have the Cowboys game, first game at number one? That's a great text. Yeah, that's a good text. Oh, ESPN. I'm sure they'll bring it up. Oh, when you say NFL number four, you really mean Cowboys opener, right? Right? Huh? How does this list affect Dak Prescott? Find out next. Oh, man. All right. Well, what else do I need to get into with you, man? Who gets credits for the... Let's do some NBA. I've done so much talk about coaches around here. I need to get outside of that bubble. Is Draymond just too far? Is he just not reparable at this point?
I mean, he's going to be who he is, and I think to be fair to him, you know, he's gained this reputation as being, I don't know if volatile is the right word, but you know what I mean, he gets called, you know, 4 minutes into the game last night for a tech, then he keeps going and he gets thrown out. And you know, seeing how emotional Steph Curry got last night, that I think that said a lot, you know, about what's going on, you know, with that team. And, you know, Steph's 35. You know, he wants to win another championship, at least one more. I'm absolutely sure of it. And, you know, seeing the way things are going with that core group, which is, you know, really Steph, Clay, and Draymond right now, that team might look entirely different next year. You know, I know, you know, Draymond got an extension. I can't remember if he got an extension or if he's up for one, but you know, Klay Thompson, depending on how much less he's going to take, you know, might not be there next year. But there's been interviews where he said, I got to transition into a different part of my career, you know, if he wants to be there. So, you know, there's some hope there. But, you know, I don't know. You know, Draymond, you know, this year he set out 12 games, you know, for a suspension early in the season. You know, this is second game of back-to-back. They're fighting with the Rockets for the last play-in spot, you know, in the West right now. And, you know, Orlando's a good team. Like I said, they were, you know, Golden State was on a second game of a row back-to-back, and that happens 4 minutes into the game. So I don't know what they decided to do there. You know, I think Steve Kerr just got an extension, and, you know, there's going to be some, you know, some real conversations had about, you know, Draymond's place in that organization probably pretty soon.
The Rockets beat a Shea Gilgeous-Alexander-less OKC team, and they are, you mentioned them, they're pushing for that final spot in the play-in game. Who's number one? Who gets credit for that? Number two, could they ruin someone's postseason?
I don't know. You know, the Rockets are—they're an interesting team. You know, they've won 10 games in a row. They have a win at Sacramento. They beat Cleveland at home, but I think Cleveland was down Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley. And that win last night, you know, it was overtime. Oklahoma City's, you know, near the top of the West. You know, they get that win, but there's no shade. Most of these wins, you know, in these last 10 games, they beat Portland, they beat San Antonio, they beat Washington twice, you know, Chicago, Utah, they beat Portland again. So this is a soft part of their schedule, you know, and they're going to come into a stretch, you know, over their last, you know, 10, 11 games where they still have to play Dallas, Minnesota, Golden State, and Miami. Dallas again, you know, their last game, they have to play Orlando, they got to play the Clippers. So it's a good story. You know, I think I'm not sure exactly what happened, but it's a little weird to see him go on this run without Alperen Şengün, who is, you know, Jokic's light, you know, in terms of what he brings to, you know, the Rockets offense. But they've gone really small. They're playing Jabari Smith, you know, Jr. at the five a lot. Mm. And there's a lot more space for, you know, Jalen Green, Fred VanVleet, you know, Amen Thompson, the guys, you know, guys that operate. And they kind of sped things up. You know, you got a big guy, you know, you got to play a little slower. So them speeding things up has helped him out a lot over his last, you know, few weeks. But, I mean, they if they can keep this up, yeah, they could definitely, you know, spoil somebody's, you know, playoff run. But, you know, they're I think they might be a half game behind the Warriors, or they might be tied with Golden State now for that last spot. But, you know, I'm interested to see after that, because they play Utah tomorrow. They'll probably beat Utah. And then they have this six-game stretch, you know, with teams, you know, right now in either conference or in the playoffs. So I'm interested to see where they stand, you know, like the middle, you know, the last week of the season.
We will close the show with Jay after one more break, including talking about player props and the NBA, and of course everything in the NBA now sponsored by those betting services. So we will have to get into that. Make sure, by the way, that if you haven't signed up yet, we have the promo going on at ESPNLouisville.com. It's in the middle of the page. You'll see big arrows on either side of the main headlines on the page. Click those until you find the Sweet 16 contest. If you have a DraftKings Sportsbook app, if you have an account, it is absolutely free to enter, but you have to have a DraftKings app. $5,000 up for grabs in DraftKings credit on the line. Top 10 finishers will get a chunk of that credit. Again, ESPNLouisville.com, middle of the page. And if you haven't downloaded the DraftKings Sportsbook app yet, enter this the promo code THEVILLE, all one word, and find out how you can get $150 in bonus bets when you sign up. So go check them out on our site, ESPNLouisville.com. Look for the DraftKings promo in the middle of the page. Wrap it up with Jay Davis here on a Thursday edition of the show next, ESPN 680, 105.7.
ESPN 680-1057. Now, here's Louis Rabeau.
All right, welcome back in. Final segment on a Thursday show here, Rabeau and Co., ESPN 680-1057. Sweet 16 coverage starting tonight at 7 o'clock. Want to thank Adam and his team for dropping off Wing Zone Catering to the ESPN Louisville studios. Perfect for your next watch party. Get that new chicken sandwich. Three local locations. Got one on Dixie Highway, one on Hunsinger Lane in Hikes Point, and of course, Poplar Level Road just outside of Audubon Park. Get to those three area locations or check them out online, wingzone.com. Tons of deals on the website. And one of my very, very favorite lunches around here during the week. A reminder, during this time slot on Sundays is the Sunday morning hangover. Curran, you get Baker, and of course you get Cantrell. Make sure you hang out with those guys every Sunday. The longest running show we got at the station. How about that? Jay Davis with us to wrap up the show. Usual spot here on the Thursday 11 o'clock hour. If I were Caitlin Clark's parents, I would tell her to take the big three money. What says Jay Davis?
Yeah, because apparently the way that deal is structured, you know, she still get to play the full WNBA season. But, you know, it was interesting hearing about that, you know, and I do agree that she's, like, the biggest name in women's college basketball right now.
Oh,
but,
sure.
You know, that could have gone to a couple Angel Reese, you know, Cameron Brink from Stanford. But I mean, I don't know if she'll do it, but I think that's absolutely something she should consider.
Why would she not do it, Jay?
I don't know. You know, maybe she, you know,
would it have to be something, honestly, would it have to be something like Nike coming to her and saying, we'll give you the money, don't do it?
That, and, you know, just from a personal standpoint, you know, she might not want to be looked at as like a sideshow.
A gimmick,
you know,
or something, because, sure. Yeah, right.
Yeah, just, you know, just hearing some, you know, just seeing some interviews yesterday from some guys that play in the Big Three, you know, Kenyon Martin, Steven Jackson. I think one of them said the big three ball is basically a step up from playing in jail, and talking about, you know, her getting switched on to somebody like Reggie Evans in the post, and you know, saying that she wouldn't score, and I understand why they offered it to her, but you know, and you know, like I said, it's something that she should consider, but you know, even more so than, you know, Nike or somebody coming and saying, because she's probably going to get that from Nike anyway. She'll probably have a shoe, you know, before the start of the WNBA season. But yeah, you know, my whole thing about it is does she want to be a sideshow act?
If anyone's listening that has $5 million and wants to make me a sideshow, I'm very available. Louis R at ESPNLouisville.com. At Radio Louis, you can DM me on Twitter. Very available. Someone pointing out that Portnoy offered her $10 million to play Barstool's 3-on-3 tournament as well. I would take all of it. $15 million in your early 20s is generational money, man. It just is. I don't know.
Absolutely is.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, but, you know, it's not. It'd be one thing if, you know, she didn't have multiple endorsement deals in place already.
Correct.
You know,
I agree with that part. Yep, I agree with that part. Yep.
You know, depending on her, you know, if it was just like, all right, I just have this WNBA salary, which might be $200,000, and, you know, that's which is enough to make a living.
No
but,
question.
You know, when it's, you know, but she has other streams of income coming in, is what I'm trying to say.
With her, I wonder how long it's going to be before WNBA numbers matter. Jay, I'll ask you because you know everything about basketball that I've ever known. Who is the leading all-time rebounder in WNBA history?
All-time rebounder? The first name that came to my mind was Tina Thompson, but that's probably wrong.
Okay. All right. Okay. My thought process with a person like Caitlin Clark, especially in 2024, is we understand now, who is it, Sylvia who? Foster?
Sylvia Foles.
Foles is the
4,007 rebounds. Right. Tina Charles is second.
Second. Oh, there you go. That's pretty good. Is that we understand now more than ever, especially with NIL and all those other things that come with even college basketball. This is entertainment now, right? We know what basketball is. It is entertainment. And this is not an era like in the 1980s that if you got traded, someone assumed there was something wrong with you, right? Mm-hmm. What do you mean you didn't spend your whole career with the Lakers or whatever it might be? So I think for that kind of reason, I think it's really likely that she ends up doing that, man.
You do? Wow. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't judge her if she did. You know, it's 10 weeks, you know, but the only thing I'm interested in, because I don't think, you know, anybody playing in the big three is making that much money.
No.
Even if they, you know, they do have a TV deal. So I'm interested to see, you know, if there be any level of resentment there or, you know, because if she does play, that might, you know, give the league a little bit more, you know, cachet, you know, amongst, you know, pop culture and sports and everything else. But just, you know, I'd just be interested to see, you know, if it's just like, all right, she's coming out here playing, she's being herself, or if there's somebody in her ear like, all right, you got to talk as much, you know, you got to talk as much junk as you can. Yeah. And, you know, just like I said, you know, there's a possibility for this to just turn into some sideshow act. And that's the one thing I don't want to see.
Yeah, I get you. Jay Davis with us. All right. So we are 37 days, 7 hours and 11 minutes to the Kentucky Derby. Have you talked to your wife about coming down for part of Derby week?
Yeah, we talk about it.
Because I like your wife, and I don't want to mess with your marriage, so I can't just be going willy nilly on these things. Are we gonna see you Tuesday, Wednesday? Are we doing it?
Yeah, we talked about that, and she was, well, because I went to Vegas with her brother, you know, my brother in law Tan,
yeah,
you know, a couple of my buddies, and because you and I talked about this on the show, maybe like middle of January.
Sounds right.
And I was like, well, I might go to Louisville for a couple of days in April before the Derby. And she goes, great, another trip for Jay.
So, well, bring your lady. Do you have childcare? Bring your lady.
It's the middle of the week. Our kids will be at school. You know, there'd be a lot to figure out, but I'll try.
Yeah. Hey, Jay, I got news for you, buddy. You have three kids. Every day is a lot to figure out.
Yeah,
I'm living that life too, brother. I know. We're in the same spot on that one for sure. All right, I just want to ask, because we're getting to that point. We're doing a seminar that Tuesday. out at Blind Squirrel. So if you're, I mean, like, we're gonna be doing the thing, man. We're gonna have fun this year. So you should get your ass down here.
So when should I get there?
I would, if I'm you, I come down for Tuesday and Wednesday, and then talk to your wife if she's interested. Thursday is now the fun day on Derby Week. It's the fun day. So it's like 55,000-60,000 people, younger crowd, less expensive, good racing. It's just not the Oaks or the Derby. And so you save literally like $5,000 by going on Thursday instead of Friday. So for like 50 bucks, we could have a great time on Thursday. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
So
well, we're going to make that happen then.
All right. Well, and Wednesday is Champions Day. So it honors all of the African-American jockeys and all of that sort of stuff too. We got to do that one for sure.
Looking forward to that.
We'll get into that for sure. But that's actually a fun day, and they've done a good job cultivating it as well. So that'll work out. But it's a busy ass week down here. It's a lot of fun. So we'll have to get into that. Plus, we got to get producer Zach out to the track a little more this year and actually get him involved in all those sorts of things. But what I really want to do is get you back in the barn area and stuff, because it's such a unique, different thing. It's such a different part of the sport, is that the athletes are animals, right? I mean, it's just and it's such a simplistic way to put it, but the essentially the town, the city that builds behind the scenes, all the people working, all those kinds of things, is really an incredible sight to see. Yeah. So I have to get you.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a lot of fun. You know, I think I told you before, I have an aunt who used to go down to the Derby every year. And, you know, Lisa and I have talked about going. Some of our buddies went down there last year.
They did.
And, you know, this is a good time to probably try to knock that out, get that out of the way and come down there.
Texture, since the NBA owns the WNBA and they obviously have problems with the Big Three, could they block her from playing in the Big Three? That's a good question. Do you think that could happen?
I mean, they could. That's a possibility too, but you know, I don't know if they
that's
would.
10 years of salary, you know, man. How can you? I don't know. I just, that kind of stuff. Like if LeBron got offered $500 million to go play in Saudi Arabia for 10 weeks, I would expect him to take it. I would expect him to take it, and that's what we're talking about, is 10 years of salary, and he makes like $40-50 million a year. And that's what we're talking about for her. She can make like $500,000 a year in salary. In 10 weeks, she can make 10 years of that. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, but, you know, I think a big part of it is you know, when whatever deal that she got from Ice Cube in the Big Three was that, you know, it would still allow her to play her entire season. So, you know, I think, you know, when you consider that, they could block it for any number of reasons, but I don't, you know, when you consider that she'd still be able to play, I don't know why they would.
Texter wants to know, have you ever ridden a horse?
I have not. My kids have, but I haven't.
Are you interested in riding a horse?
I might have to think about that. You know, you know, they're temperamental, and you know, I'm not trying to get thrown, you know, 30 feet off of a horse. I'd probably try that.
Off the top of your head, who will do better at their new school, Andy Enfield at SMU or Kyle Smith at Stanford? Both in the ACC, by the way, which is incredible to say.
I mean, probably Kyle Smith.
I love the Kyle Smith hire at Stanford. I really do. I think he's awesome.
Yeah. He was great at Washington State. Obviously, this is a self-preservation move to get into, a league that's whole, but... Yeah, you know, he already knows recruiting out there. You know, Stanford has a little bit, you know, of a pedigree. I mean, SMU does too. But I think Kyle Smith will do better. I mean, Andy Enfield, he's flopped at USC. So,
I agree.
You know, him going to SMU is interesting. You know, because you know he's going, you know, the Big Ten. USC is going into the Big Ten, which means, you know, more visibility, more money, frankly, and he decides to go to SMU. So, you know, I think that says a lot about where his stock is right now.
Yeah, the thing about Enfield is I think he's good for 3-5 years, and he needs to reset the clock. And I don't think that makes him very different than a lot of coaches. I think a lot of guys need that reset.
No.
Yeah. I think a lot of guys need that reset. And so I think there's a chance for 3-4 years at SMU with the money they got down there. Good God. I mean, I actually think he could be pretty good. But Kyle Smith at Stanford just makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, Zach. Man, oh, man. All right, we'll let Jay Davis go. He's presented by Lana Sports, L-A-N-A Sports.com. Text me tonight. Talk to Lisa. We'll get you guys down here. I got a guest room. We'll work it out, all right? You understand me?
Yeah, we're going to figure it out.
All right, brother. There you go. He's Jay Davis, at Jay Davis underscore 1981. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
All right, thanks, Lou.
Thanks, Jay. There you go. Jay Davis. Man, oh, man. I love that week. I love that hour of the week. Yeah. Now, someone texted in earlier, man, who's in the portal. The portal's loaded. It's loaded. And you could literally just put together a team of, like, three Stanford guys, three Rutgers guys, and, like, a couple of other dudes. You're good. Like,
you could put Louisville guys now, because Brandon Hundley Hatfield just entered.
Are there any guys on the current team that you would want back? And I'm not
BHH.
Trying to...
I want him back.
That's about it. Do you know what I want, just because I think it would be funny?
What's that?
Now that we've seen a little bit of Kelsey and how out of his mind he is, which I'm not against, by the way.
Yeah.
Tyler Johnson's out of his mind. Those two together might be...
I don't think he's entered.
I know, but what I'm saying is, but those two guys together, it might just be a wildfire. In the best way. And mean it.
Yeah.
I mean, just the kind of guy that... I think he's so close. I think Tyler's so close.
Mm-hmm.
And to show the flashes he did last year with very little structure...
Yeah.
...shows that if he has structure, I think he could be really good. But, man, some of the guys, I just... By the way, when I talked about opening the locker room, let's open the program back up. Let's try something very different. What I meant was to Huntley Hatfield, for example, who would have known that the guy had a great time here the last 2 years until that locker room was open?
We didn't hear from him.
Texas saying they want Cron Davis back, LOL. He never left. Don't worry.
What if Cron Davis did come back?
That'd be amazing. I also want Jamal Mashburn Jr. still, even though Patino's not coming. I just want a Mash in a Louisville jersey. It's just funny.
I want Mash in a Kentucky jersey.
Or get him over there. Yeah.
You really think he's going to let his kid go to Louisville?
No, hell no.
No.
If Patino had, he might have.
Yeah.
If Patino had, he might have.
Yep.
He really might have. Yeah.
That'd be bad parenting to let your kid go to Louisville when you're a Kentucky guy.
If you're a Kentucky guy, yeah.
Yeah. That's the obvious
Carter
caveat.
Knox or something.
If you're
like
a Kentucky guy.
Yeah. Same texter, that Crown guy, he's got fight. Damn it.
Pat Kelsey better not say that word today.
I'm sure he's getting coached like an MF right now. Positive. Texture, I need to see Kelsey at captain's quarters on a Sunday night. You're damn right. You're damn right. We're going to have to do that.
That's how you know you're a Louisville guy.
That's right. Well, someone suggested he just follow... Oh, it's Dieter. Just follow Jeff Brom around to like picnics and different stuff like that.
Yeah, go to the fish fry. Go
do you know what
the...
he doesn't need to do now? Follow Brom around. Just be himself. Go get a golf cart and drive around St. Martha. Like, just do it.
There you go.
Get a golf cart, drive around St. Edward. I don't know. Just do it, man. I mean, just figure it out. Texter saying Caleb Glenn, Curtis Williams, Tyler, BHH, and Sky would all be nice to have back. That's interesting. I wouldn't want Sky Clark back only because I think, man, what's the best way to say
it? He balled out against NC State, though.
Yeah. No. It isn't for a lack of talent. I think I would just try to forge ahead with Tyler ahead of Sky.
Yeah.
Because I think the potential ceiling is way higher with Tyler Johnson.
That's fair.
That's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm at. But I get those five guys, especially Caleb Glenn. That's one that I hadn't had on my list. I really like his game.
I'm totally fine if there's a reset, by the way. If none
also
of them come back.
That. Yeah. So
just nothing from last year. That's fine.
3 o'clock press conference today. Obviously, we'll have that on all sticks. We'll have you covered for that. 3:30 today. Thank you for that. So shows will start at 3. We'll shoot to that at 3:30. Appreciate the Louisville folks setting us up that way. Sweet 16 coverage does start at 7 o'clock tonight. Clemson, Arizona, and San Diego State, UConn as well tonight. Alabama, North Carolina, Illinois, Iowa State. We didn't even get into the games. And good God, are they great. Going to be a fun one this weekend. Get in. ESPNLouisville.com. You got a couple of hours in on the Sweet 16 Bracket Challenge with our friends at DraftKings alongside Zach Cantrell. My name's Louis Rabeau. We'll be back again tomorrow at 10 a.m. We'll have games to react to and games to look forward to. And, of course, we'll get ready for 2 100-point derby preps. We'll see you then. Have a great day.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.